Patricia Camilleri, Director of the Communications and Alumni Relations Office here at the University of Malta. In this series called Research Matters, I shall be discussing the many research projects undertaken by the university's academics from all fields of study. I'm delighted to have with me today in the studio on Research Matters, Professor Joanne Cassar and Roberto De Angelis. Just a few words about my guests. Professor Cassar is head of the Department of the Built Heritage within the Faculty for the Built Environment here at the University, where she coordinates an MSc on conservation technology for masonry buildings. She's chairperson of the Board of Studies of the Bachelor of Conservation Honours and the Master of Conservation in Applied Conservation Studies. She has lectured at the universities of Antwerp and University College London and at the Istituto Universitario di Architettura di Venezia, as well as on international summer schools for graduates. Having carried out research since 1981 on the composition, properties, deterioration and conservation of building materials, she has 50 scientific publications on conservation-related topics. She sits on the government-appointed scientific committee for the conservation of the megalithic temples and is a board member of the Board Tal Warrant Tal Restauraturi. She's also a member of the editorial board of the Quarterly Journal of Engineering Geology and Hydrogeology of the Geological Society of London and associate overseas editor. She's a fellow of the International Institute for Conservation, fellow of the Geological Society, chartered chemist and member of the Royal Society of Chemistry. Roberto De Angelis is graduated in 1992 from the Istituto Centrale per il Restauro in Rome in conservation of paintings and stone. From 1999 to 2001, she was the coordinator of the Paintings Conservation Department and lecturer in wall paintings conservation at the former Malta Centre for Restoration, now the Conservation Division of Heritage Malta. She then read for a master's degree and Phil at the University of Malta to understand the complex problems posed by the conservation of wall paintings in Malta. Besides lecturing at undergraduate and postgraduate level, she recently coordinated the Heritage Malta Conservation Project of the vault painting of the main hall in Verdala Palace. Her main research interest is directed to the conservation of wall paintings and architectural surfaces. She currently works in the Department of the Built Heritage, Faculty of the Built Environment, as a project assistant for the European project ELAC, a EuroMed Heritage 4 project, about which we shall be speaking in this chat this morning. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
Well, we're going to talk today about conservation of our heritage, and I think that has become recently a bit of a sort of buzzword, heritage, conservation. Hopefully these issues are coming to the fore more and more. Do you feel that, Professor, or do you feel that we're still lagging behind a bit?
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting us on this most interesting program, which Roberta and I have heard many editions of. Well, yes, cultural heritage is important, and it is, I think, people are becoming more aware of it. It seems to be, though, concentrated in pockets. There are pockets of people who are very interested in cultural heritage. We think that there are others who need to be made more aware of the importance of cultural heritage. And this is where this project comes in, because one of those sectors is actually the young people, the youth, who, if they are involved in a concrete way, have a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of energy, which they can put into, in this case, the conservation of cultural heritage. But if they are not pointed in the right direction in an interesting way, they must not be told or have an idea or think that cultural heritage is boring. If they are shown, and really this is, can really be very interesting, I find conservation very interesting, and if presented in the right way, young people can harness their energy and actually put it to good use in this field.
I think that perhaps one has to look at cultural heritage and then the conservation of it in a sort of holistic way, and ask oneself a bit the question, why should young people today feel that they are linked to cultural heritage? Lately, I've interviewed or talked to several researchers in the area of history, and one does get the impression that history has been marginalized in the curricula, in schools, virtually at every level. Perhaps not so much at primary level, but then sort of a little bit where it counts in the secondary level, it has been sort of by form two, it's more or less gone off the agenda in many schools. And unless you have that, perhaps, unless you have the background, perhaps the cultural heritage agenda is not going to be pushed enough for young people to take an interest.
Well, yes, first of all, I do have to mention that I come from a science background, and I sort of wandered into cultural heritage. But cultural heritage is really a part of us. It is where we are coming from. And I sincerely believe that unless you know where you are coming from, you cannot go in the right direction. You have no idea where you're going to end up. And this is from somebody coming from a purely science field. I unfortunately had to drop my history at a very early age because I had chosen science subjects. But I came to realize at a later stage that really cultural heritage is a part of us. This is where we came from. And I'm sure young people do realize this in an intuitive way. But, you know, we do have lots of young people joining, you know, volunteer groups and helping out in the community and helping in the feasts of the community. I mean, they really, I mean, I live in Rabat and there is such a sense of the festa and young people joining in. So if people are directed, if young people are, you know, pointed in the right direction, I'm sure that they really will appreciate what we have. And we have such a lot in Malta.
And one of the nice things about this project, your area of study, is in fact this lovely marrying of the two disciplines, because this is something as well that has come across in many many interviews this year, that there is interdisciplinarity that becomes key, and that's a really very positive thing. Yes. And that people can look at cultural heritage from the scientific point of view. I mean, this is great.
Conservation is, by its very nature, multidisciplinary. You cannot take care of an object or a building or a site unless you bring in different professionals. You have to have, it is not a one-man show. You just cannot. The architect cannot work without the archaeologist, cannot work without the scientist, cannot work without the conservator, the art historian. It is multidisciplinary. And this is something which makes it interesting, because wherever you come from, you have a role to play.
So let's hear a little bit more about this this project. You obviously are not in on it on your own.
No.
Who are your partners?
Well, this project was the brainchild of the Technion, which is the Israeli Technical University. It's the Institute of Technology of Israel, who are the coordinators, and has drawn in partners from different European countries, all of whom are conservation scientists with a great deal of experience and background in conservation of cultural property. So there's the University of Antwerp, Department of Chemistry. There's the University of Malta, represented by the Department of the Built Heritage. There is the National Technical University of Athens and the University of Ca' Foscari in Venice. And all of them have a very, very long experience in cultural heritage, especially cultural heritage teaching.
Roberta, perhaps you could tell us a little bit about how the methodologies have been developed within this particular project. What exactly are you going to do? I gather we're still at the beginning.
Yes, we are. We have just started in February 2009, so last February, and the project is going to last until January 2012, so we have 3 years. And perhaps I should emphasize that the aim of the project is to increase the awareness of the importance of cultural heritage and its conservation by a particular target group, especially youth. And we have an emphasis also on the built heritage. And the main deliverables of the project will be a course a short course, and the website. And the course is going to be directed towards a young audience of 16, 17 years old. And so that's those are the main deliverables. And the way we are going to try to achieve those deliverables is through a series of activities. We have six activities. We've started with activity one, which was basically towards the development of the educational approach. It was started in February 2009 and it ended in August 2009, so a few months. And basically, during that activity, we did a review on what was available even abroad at an international level, what type of courses were available for a non-professional audience on cultural heritage and conservation. So it was quite an interesting phase because we got to know a lot of things that are happening, international institutions that deliver some sort of courses or initiatives towards this type of audience. It was useful also to gather our ideas on what we actually can do to achieve our objective. Then there's going to be the activity two that's just started in September, and that's, I would say, it's a key activity because we are supposed to develop the educational content, so the course, and we are the coordinator of that activity. Malta is the is the coordinator. And then at the same time, there's going to be also activity three, which is towards the development of the e-learning application, the website. And then activity four, it's actually the integration of this toolkit, basically based on activity two, which is the content of the course and the website. We will have this toolkit, and we are going to test it. And in activity five, we are going to implement the toolkit. Activity four and five are iterative in the sense that we are going to have several courses in different countries. Actually, I think there are six countries. There is Israel, Malta, Jordan, and Greece as well, Egypt, and so while we are going to implement the course, we are going to improve the toolkit. So we are supposed also to modify it to make it better until we reach the final stage, which is probably January 2012, and we will have the final product, which we can then pass to other people.
Getting young people involved, as we were sort of mentioning before, is not going to be an easy task. I mean, children of 16 don't sort of just roll up because you ask them to. What methods of encouragement are you going to use to get these children on board? Are you going to use just the website to inform, or local councils, or where are these children, young people, going to meet up to actually participate in the course?
Okay. But first of all, probably we should also emphasize the fact that we are usually used to teach to university students, which is a professional audience. I mean, at least there are young people who have chosen conservation as their career. So, and in this case, instead, we are talking about an audience, non-professional, young people. So we are aware that there is a big difference, I think, between university students and this type of student that we are targeting. So for this reason, we are looking for a collaboration with the Faculty of Education here at the university. And we are also collaborating with the junior college.
Because that's about the age group, isn't it?
Yes, 16, 17, it is. It's post-secondary school. School, so for us it's perfect. And also in the junior college there is a very interesting subject which is called systems of knowledge, which is interdisciplinary, just like conservation. And Professor Cassar at an early stage had this idea of trying to match the course of ELAC with the project that they do during the systems of knowledge. Because during that project, they have to liaise, they have to link different subjects responsible citizenship, art and science, also the environment. So all
they fit in nicely into your area.
All components that actually are part of conservation. I mean, after all, conservation wants to create responsible citizenship. Responsible citizen. And this is exactly the same what Systems of Knowledge is trying to do. So we are going to try to match our course with the Systems of Knowledge, and at the same time we would like to create a course where students are engaged in activities. They are not just sitting there, but they are actually participating and in interactive.
What can you actually do with students like that? If you're talking about conservation, I suppose the actual physicality of it means that you have to have materials, you have to have somewhere to do it. You have to choose an area which is not going to be misused or it's not going to come to any harm. Professor?
It's one thing which we definitely need to emphasize, not only during the course, but I think every single day of our life, is that conservation and the care of cultural heritage is not a hobby. And unfortunately, what we are getting sometimes in some media is the idea that conservation can be done quickly, can be done simply, can be done by people with not very much knowledge who can go in there. I'm talking to somebody who comes from the field of archaeology, unfortunately, a little bit like archaeology. Everybody is an archaeologist, so everybody is a conservator. So we are definitely not going to get the children, the young people, the students to do conservation. That is not possible at any stage for anybody who is not a professional. But there are so many activities around conservation which can help. Documentation is one of them. You can study a building from a conservation point of view and prepare its documentation, which is then extremely useful for the person who's then going to do the actual conservation.
Non-invasive anyway.
So completely non-invasive, and it's completely, it can be subjective as well. You can represent what you are seeing in an entirely subjective way, which also helps you understand what the person is thinking about the building at that point when they're producing the document. Roberta, there are other activities, aren't there? Like in the laboratories, for example.
Yes, I mean, one of the main things that we would like to do is learning by doing. That's the idea behind our teaching or learning process. It depends how you want to see it. And in the lab, for example, the students could see professional carrying out work, or they could actually try to design some very simple conservation treatments, like, for example, to choose a mortar to fill in the stone joints, for example. I mean, what type of properties such a mortar should have, and why, especially. So most of the course is going to be practical. And we are also, whatever, there is also some part in class, so in a traditional way, we will also try to engage the students in class exercises, so, for example, I mean, in a way that they can actually participate and express their opinion. What we are trying to do is really trying to improve their thinking skills, because those are the ones that will remain after. So we'll definitely not going to go for a course where you will give a lot of data, a lot of information that then they obviously cannot remember, but we are going to try and stimulate their interest. And also in a creative way, in the sense that, for example, I'm very much for asking the students, for example, to create a poster or something like a T-shirt, something which will, in a way, also be useful to promote the site. So actually, we are also thinking about competition in that sense, because you can ask, for example, the students to produce, for example, a poster, and then you can
award
a prize,
a prize,
like,
and For example, you could actually, I don't know, ask the Benna, the milk, to print the poster on the milk cartoon. I mean, there are projects, other projects have done that. They have also printed posters on the bus, for example, or on a newspaper, so that the students will actually be proud of what he or she produced. At the same time, the project will also get some visibility or dissemination also.
Yes, well, I'm always interested in the PR side of
things. But also because this is an international project, so we will have students in Malta, but we will also have students in Egypt, we'll have students in Turkey, in Jordan. And the website can be used, for example, if they all produce a poster, they can post it up on our website and the Maltese can sort of compete or view
or
comment on what students in other countries have seen. Because although cultural heritage is a sort of an umbrella term, but cultural heritage varies from country to country. The materials vary, the type of architecture varies, the culture varies, and therefore we need the students also to understand what is happening in other countries. And this is important in the EuroMed heritage program, which is we are part of, in that the European Mediterranean dialogue is promoted. So this, you know, the website can be very useful with the products which the students are actually producing themselves.
That was a question I wanted to put to you, really, because it's always rather interesting to look at a project like this, which, as you say, it's EuroMed base, so that is definitely an angle at which you have to look into. Do you find that the approaches are different according to the different countries, or have you found a homogeneity in sort of a thought processes with regard to perhaps conservation issues in general, rather than this particular project?
Well, if I want to be a little bit negative, the problems tend to be the same. They tend to be lack of awareness. They tend to be lack of maintenance. They tend to be vandalism. So the problems, and we've had our own cases in Malta as well, which we are very well aware of. So these tend to, unfortunately, it's an underlying common problem. But it is also a case that the actual information on cultural heritage varies a great deal. Talking with our colleagues from Greece, for example, apparently we are told that cultural heritage from very, very early years is taught in the schools, and they are given, you know, huge doses of cultural heritage from year one, whereas in Malta, I think it is, well, rather less. In the Middle Eastern countries, again, it depends. It is quite pronounced in Israel and in Egypt, but it would maybe be less in some other countries. So the idea is also to get young people to speak to each other, maybe through the website, through chats, through any sort of promotion
blogs
on the internet.
Blogs,
yes,
blogs,
everything, which is, well, interactive and immediate. And they can actually see, well, okay, we are better off, or we are not so badly off, or we are comparable to other people, and that there are people out there. We're not on an island in the middle of space. So that is also what we really wish to promote. Also through awareness, but also pride in our own cultural heritage and the common cultural heritage across the Mediterranean, because there is such a lot in common, although individual countries do vary as particular types of styles of architecture and types of building materials, but there is so much in common. So ideally, the student will not only become aware of his own cultural heritage, but the common cultural heritage as well.
There are certain words that are used in these projects, deliverable. One of them is toolkit,
yeah.
Which you talked about before. At the end of the day, for those who are not so au courant with Euro project speak, what exactly would you expect to have in a toolkit? Is it something which is a physical thing, or is it ideas, or what exactly is it?
Well, the toolkit is basically composed of the course material, which is the teacher handbook, for example, or even the material for the course, for the student, handouts, for example, or photographs that you need. And then there is also the website as well. So the course material and the website form, the toolkit. And it's also going to be a documented step-by-step process, document, where the process is, has been documented so that other people after us, when the project is going to be finished, can actually use the toolkit and implement the course how they want it, basically. Ideally, it would be better if the course keeps, I mean, is in a scholastic system, in the curriculum of the of our
integrated
students. Yes, so that would be the ideal situation. But since the students are going to also to produce some useful work on site for the conservation, also the promotion of the site, perhaps this type of course could be also useful for NGOs that are interested in the conservation of cultural heritage. Obviously, you will need people to continue the course. I mean, students cannot be left by their own, obviously. So you obviously need somebody with passion and motivation to continue.
So we're talking about educating, in inverted commas, not only the children, but also the teacher level.
Yes.
That manual is going to be a sort of book of suggestions and situations which can be reproduced then further down the line.
Yes, there should be, I don't know, a part, of, for example, where teachers or instructors are told what they should prepare before actually implementing a specific activity with the students, what could be also a follow-up of that activity to stimulate the knowledge of the student. So,
and when it comes to curricula, I do want to mention that in Israel and in Athens in particular, they are working with the education authorities to try to get what we eventually produce as part of the curriculum.
And we
maybe
to do the same here.
We should do the same.
Because in the end of the course in Malta, the course in Malta is going to be implemented in 2011, and we are thinking of having also a final event where students could actually present their work, for example, and on that occasion we could also invite officials from the ministry and stakeholders from the local council, for example, to show what's the potential of the toolkit.
Yes.
So they can
getting at the policymakers.
Yes. In fact, one of the courses which is going to be organized as part of the project is going to be for policymakers in Venice. One of the courses in Venice is going to be for policymakers in order to get them on board and to try to get them to understand that the involvement of young people is really a good investment.
You're going to manage to get somebody from Malta.
This is going to be in 2011 as well, so we haven't started thinking about that yet.
Well, thank you both very, very much, Professor Joanne Cassar and Roberta De Angelis, for coming to talk to us today on research matters about this very interesting topic of conservation of cultural heritage. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.